If you have your Bible, turn with me. We're going to talk about faith tonight. If you're going to have a healing service, what should you talk about?
Faith.
Why? Because it takes, say it, it takes to heal you. Oh, no, it's got to be the rhythm of the dance. It's got to be the power of the song. Faith. Jesus never said, be it unto you according to the rhythm of that song. Be it unto you according to the pew that you sit upon. Amen. The prayer that you pray. What did he say? Be it unto you according to your
faith.
All things are possible to him that
believe.
Does what?
Believe.
It starts with belief. Believing that he will do it. What I was trying to get you to do a moment ago when you were singing hallelujah was worship. Because you see, praise, like they were singing in a few moments ago, praise brings his presence, but worship brings his miracles. So while I'm preaching tonight, listen to what I'm saying and let the word germinate within your heart. All right, Hebrews chapter 11, beginning with verse 1. You got it up there, dear lady? I love this verse. Faith, there it is, by faith. No, that's verse 5. Go back to verse 1, please, because this is a powerful verse of Scripture, and I want you to get it. But faith is this. It's like the Holy Spirit is sitting us down and saying to us, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now faith, the power of faith. We've got it up there. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It's powerful. Now faith, not yesterday faith, not tomorrow faith, right now. I had a good friend by the name of Old Roberts before he passed away. He would tell me that God is an eternal now. Amen? Say that word now.
Now.
When?
Now.
When? Tonight, now he is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power. What is that power? Faith. In other words, be it unto you as you want it to be. Be it unto you as you desire it to be. How? Through your faith. Because the faith can take you into the holies of holies. The faith can lead you into the power of God. Faith can make things happen. He is able to do exceeding. I believe if Paul ever used an eraser, it was on that verse right there. Now unto him that is able to do anything I ask. When he was asked by the Holy Spirit to write how big God is. Now unto him that is able to do anything I ask. That's not right. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding anything I ask. That's not right. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly anything I ask. That's not it yet. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above anything I ask. Are you ready for this? Or think. How does it work? According, oh Lord, help me to preach this tonight. It's according to the power that worketh within you. Because you got to understand, there ain't no devil in hell that's going to conquer powerful faith. There is no demon in hell that can defeat a person who believes in the power of God. There is no demon in hell that can take your healing from you. It's God, and it's according to your faith. You see, most of it is done by you, not by God. All God does is shower you with his blessings. Why? Because you believe that he will. Amen. Habakkuk 2 and 4, Romans 1, 17, Galatians 3, 11, Hebrews 10, 38. Habakkuk thought it first. He stated it first. Paul thought it important enough that he made the statement that God, that we live, the just shall live by faith. We don't live on past experience. I remember, man, when we used to have church. God is now. Lord, help me to preach this like I feel it on my soul. God is here now. That's why I sang that song, He is here now. And where God is, there's deliverance. Where God is, there's power. Where God is, there's joy. Hallelujah. Where God is, there's healing. There's deliverance. Come on, amen. Can I tell you, it's your bread. Let me get it to you. God wants you healed more than you want to be healed yourself. No, Brother Brock, that ain't the way it works. You have to work and pray and fast, and then maybe God will pour out a blessing upon. Honey, all you've got to do is believe. I was reared in that negative church. Our favorite song on Wednesday night was, I'm going through. Oh, I'm going through. You remember that old man that Tim Conway used to portray on the Carol Burnett show? That's what that song reminds me of. Pastor gets up here and says, we're going to take Alabaster for God. We're going to take Birmingham for God. And some of you are sitting on your pew going, I'm going through. You got that kind of an attitude. I hated the song too. We used to sing it on Wednesday night gripes, Wednesday night prayer sessions. When everybody would stand up and talk about how hard it was to live for God, we'd sing the song, standing somewhere in the shadows. We always had Sister Sadie over in the corner going, you'll find Jesus. You'll find Jesus. He's the only one. Ladies and gentlemen, I hate that song. I hate that song like I hate that other song. Why? Because I'm a part of the greatest marching army. Oh, Lord, help me to say this. The greatest marching army the world has ever known. And if he's the light of the world, what is he doing in shadows? And I'm not just barely making it by. I'm anointed from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. I am full of the power of God. I'm full of the glory of God. I'm full of the presence of God. I'm full of the greatness of God. Hallelujah. Because I'm not serving a Johnny come lately or once in a while, but I'm serving a God that is in the now. He's not only back then, he's here now. He's not only going to take care of me tomorrow, he's here right now. He's here to touch you right now. If you believe that, clap your hands and shout hallelujah. Please understand, it's your bread. It's your bread. My wife and I mentioned it this morning. My wife and I met on Thursday at the General Assembly. Church of God, I always have to say it like that. To be official, the General Assembly of the Church of God in Memphis, Tennessee. I met her on a Thursday, asked her to marry me. Because of my patience, I asked her to marry me the following Tuesday. I'm impatient. Can't tell that, can you? And she, much to my surprise, said yes. But you have to understand something. My wife is from Yakima, Washington. You're from Yakima? Good, praise God. You'll have to meet my wife after church. Yakima, Washington. I'm from Rome, Georgia. Hello? Yakima, Rome. Yakima, are you getting the picture? We were cross-country from one another. When I met her, I had no idea. She was half Cherokee. Had no idea she was fourth cousin of Jesse James. I walked the line for more reasons than one. Come on, amen. But I had no idea. Now, see, I remember when I married her, I was 19. Don't go wild like I did, okay, guys? Ladies, don't do that, young ladies. But I was 19. When I was 15, my father died when I was 2. So I was paying my mother's pharmacy bills when I was 15 years old, helping the household needs being met. When I was ready to get married. I was fully grown by the time I was 19. So when I met her, I was ready to get married because I fell madly in love with her on that Thursday. I will never forget it, longest day I live. But I had no idea, Yakima, Rome, she didn't know how to cook. I know she's sitting right there, and I'll get to the rest of it. Just hang on a minute. She thought thought grits was hominy grits that had shrunk. She had no idea about sawmill gravy, cathead biscuits. You ought to look at some of the expressions in the North when I say cathead biscuits. They'll go, cathead biscuit. I said, there's a big as a cathead. Are you hearing what I'm saying? She did not understand how we Southerners down here eat. Because she's from the Northwest, and she couldn't cook. And I'm 19. I'm still a growing boy. Come on, amen. I got hungry. I called my mother. See, I'm the baby of the family, so I called my mother, and my mother said, "What's wrong, baby?" I said, "Mama Pat can't cook. Can you show her how to cook?" And she showed her some things, and one morning I got up and I said, "Baby, make me some gravy. I'd love to have some sawmill gravy and make it thick. You know, I like it thick." It was so thick that I had to take a spoon and spread it around on the bread. And I said, "That's a little too thick. Make it a little thin." Then she got it like water. I just poured it on there. I was hungry. So I called my mother again. I said, "Mama, what's wrong, baby?" I said, "I'm hungry. What you want, baby?" I said, "Mama, you know what I want. I want some turnip greens, and I want some fried corn, and I want black-eyed peas, pinto beans, turnip. Come on, amen. Cathead biscuits." I said, "Would you make me a chocolate cake?" My mama could make a chocolate cake that if it was sitting on your head, your tongue would beat you to death trying to get to it. So one night we're out riding around, and I say to my wife, I said, "Baby, let's go by and see what mama's doing." And when I went by the house, she had it all laid out. And my wife said, "She lives alone. She's a skinny little lady. What is she doing with all this food?" I said, "I don't know, but let's help her eat it." So I sat down, friend, and for the next 30 minutes, all I did was eat. I decided that night I would never eat another bite the rest of my life because I was so full. She'd rake it into my plate. "Here's some more corn, baby. Here's some more beans." And she made me a chocolate cake. Now, let me tell you something. Today, my wife is the best cook I've ever eaten from. She's excellent. She's tremendous. I can't tell you enough about that. But right then, I ate till I couldn't eat no more. What are you trying to say? Ladies and gentlemen, healing is your bread. God provides a meal for you. This is not just a building with plaster and stone and sheetrock. No, ladies and gentlemen, this is the house of Almighty God. You're sitting on His pew this evening. Put your feet under the table like I did a few years ago and begin to eat. Got deliverance? Got it right here. You need healing? I've got it right here. Why don't you partake of what God will provide? Oh, hallelujah! What God will and has prepared for you. It is yours. Accept it now in the name of Jesus. If you believe that again, clap your hands and shout hallelujah. Now unto Him. Right now. Now faith is. Faith is what we need. You and I need this. Evidence is what they need. Did you get what I just said? They need to see your evidence. They need, as I preached this morning, they need to see your smile, your effervescent belief that God will supply every one of you is evidence. Pastor is evidence. Came from a life of drugs and alcohol. God saved him. He's evidence. How many of you came from a rough background and God brought you into His house? Lift your hand way high. See, you are evidence of what God can do. Amen. Are you hearing me? How many have ever been healed by the power of God? Hold up your hand way high. You are what? Evidence that you need to testify to the world. Let the world see that evidence. Faith is what we need. Evidence is what they, if there's ever a time, if there ever was an hour, if there ever was a moment, we are so near the coming of the Lord. We're standing on the precipice of the coming of the Lord. Times are rough. Everybody's going through battles, but oh, it's the hour, it's the time, it's the moment to come to God's house on a Sunday night. Come on, amen. Rain falling down outside, but you came to the house of God. The lights are on. Somebody drives by your church. My dear God, they're having church tonight. Where a lot of churches have closed their door, blessed be God, this church has not closed its door. We still believe in the power of God. We still believe in the anointing of God. We still believe in the reality of God. You're evidence. I'm evidence. I'm evidence. 10 years ago, I was in Anaheim, California. I was doing a conference with Benny Hinn. I sang that evening, and when I sat down in my chair, I felt a tinge of pain. I said, it hurts a little. Thought I was having some indigestion. Next night, sang again, and again, I felt indigestion. That's what I thought it was. The next morning, 9 o'clock, I drove down to Hollywood to meet with a movie producer. He wanted to make me an actor and wanted me to be in a movie. I ain't no actor. I'm a Church of God. Ah, glory to God. I'm a Church of God preacher. Amen. I don't have time for acting. Amen. I got to do the work of the Lord. But I sat all day with that dummy. I did it. I started at 9, didn't leave till 5 that evening. Drove 2 hours to Palm Springs where my wife and I was staying. Got up the next morning. I got there about 9, got up the next morning about 7. I drove an hour and a half to Riverside, California, preached 2 sermons. Second sermon, Pastor, I prayed for 500 people. I mean, we had church that morning. That was in the second service. In the middle of those services, I sat in the pastor's lounge or got in his restroom and pushed on my chest because it felt like this lung was changing places with this lung. And I was saying, man, that ingestion is really bothering me. Got out there, preached another sermon, prayed for 500 people. Pastor told me we had miracle after miracle. I wish I'd have had a miracle right then, but I didn't. God had greater things in store for me. And so I prayed for all of those people. Got to feeling, well, when you get under the anointing, it's like carrying a mountain with you. And then when you get out from under the anointing, it's like the mountain falls on you. So I'm a little tired, and I tell the pastor, let's go out and get something to eat. I went by and visited with some friends that I knew, drove the hour and a half back to Palm Springs. When I got out of the car, my wife looked at me and said, you look bad. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we've been married almost 49 years. She said to me more than once, you look bad. She said that day to me, you look bad. I said, I feel bad. I'm going to go into the house, and I'm going to untie my shoes, take a bath, relax. So I went in, untied my shoes, put them off to the side, started to take a bath, and then suddenly it hit me. A pain hit me in the chest, and I fell to the floor. I was having a heart attack and had no understanding that that was what was happening to me. And I did something I hated to do. I called my wife. I said, baby, you better call the life squad. Something's wrong. She called the life squad, and they were there within 5 minutes. You know why? There's a lot of life squads in Palm Springs, California. You know why there's a lot of life squads in Palm Springs, California? Not money, brother, because there's a lot of old people in Palm Springs, California. He was there within 5 minutes. First thing they did was give me a shot of morphine. Honey, I was higher than a South Georgia pine. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Because I can't take drugs. And he gave me that shot of morphine. And I'm going, hey, yes, I feel great. Y'all can go home now. No, we got to take you to a doctor, to a hospital. I said, what a hospital? I live in Atlanta. What hospital are you taking me to? He took me to Eisenhower Hospital, which is ranked number in the top 10 in America for cardiology. And they started doing all the things they do, tried to put an IV in my right arm, and all of a sudden that morphine wore off. And I was saying, give me some more morphine. Give me some more morphine. And they said, we better take him to the cath lab to find out how many blockages he has. That's the first time I fully realized I was having a heart attack. So as I'm going through the doors into the cath lab, I died. I breathed my last breath. You're looking at the dead man right here. I got news for you, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to be around when Jesus comes. Let me tell you why. It's appointed that a man wants to die. Come on. And after this, the judgment. I've already died. Come on, amen. What, graveyard dead? No, I was clinically dead. Brain stopped. Of course, my wife says it does that all the time. But anyway, brain stopped, lung stopped, heart stopped. How do you know? Because the nurse told me, you're the first person that ever flatlined on me. They rushed me back into the emergency room, hit me with the paddles 3 times before they finally brought me back to life. And then they took me up to the cath lab. They said, we got to take you to the cath lab. I'm going, I've been to the cath lab. I thought I had. No, I died in the process. And they brought me back to life, sent me to the cath lab. My doctor lives in Atlanta. They had to get me another doctor. They got me Dr. Matruca, who's ranked in the 100 doctors or physicians in America, according to his own peers. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Because I want you to understand, God took me to the best hospital, got me the best doctor. Come on, are you listening to what I'm saying? Then they took me, and he walked around my bed, and he said, you're in bad shape, Mr. Brock. He's India. He's from India. You're in bad shape, Mr. Brock. And I'm going, oh, really? Yeah, okay. Because they hit me some more morphine. Come on, amen. We're going to fix you up. I'm going, hey, Doc, anything you want to do, do it. And they took me down to ICCU. Come on, which was way back in the back of the ICU. Because they put those paddles on me, kept those paddles. They didn't know what I was going to do. I had the Widowmaker. Anybody ever heard of the Widowmaker? The Widowmaker, ladies and gentlemen, is why a man will walk into your establishment and drop dead. This was my heart. This was my the vein was stopped right here, but it stopped all 3 of these veins. Therefore, I just had the Widowmaker, and I died. 84% of the people that have the Widowmaker die. That's why, because it only happens to men. And it happened to me. And I died. Are you listening to what I'm saying? They brought me back to life. If I'd have had my brothers, I hadn't seen my baby in 29 years. I would love to just go on home and be with David and see my family. But I love my family here. God, you see, I'm not here because he and I worked out an appointment. I am here because God wants me here. Are you listening to what I'm saying? This is not just another appointment to me. This is where God wants me to be. Amen. God's going to do something here tonight. If you believe that, clap your hands again and shout hallelujah. It's God's will. It's God's will for me to be here. He brought me back to life. But for 4 days, they kept me in ICU because of the fact that my heart had bruised more than 40%. And they had to calm me down before they could ever operate on me. When they come to get me in the operating room, they gave me amnesia. Did you know that? They can give you amnesia. Anybody know that? I didn't know that. They can give you. I love amnesia. I'd love to be able to give it to my wife every once in a while. Amen. But they gave me, because I don't remember that operation. My wife said when I came back from the operating room, I looked like Frankenstein. I had tubes everywhere. They took out the tubes on Friday. On Saturday, Dr. Wilson came by. Now, this is where I get excited. You don't know Dr. Wilson. But Dr. Wilson came by and said, how you doing, Mr. Brock? I said, because I got this hole in my chest, I feel kind of funny, but I'm all right. He went outside to talk to my wife. How's Steve's schedule coming? She said, oh, well, we've canceled June and we're working on July. Because it happened in June 5th, when I had that heart attack. And she told him, she said, you probably don't know it, but my husband is a minister. He said, oh, honey, are you ready to get happy with me? I'm a graduate of Oral Roberts University. said, and all the time they were operating on your husband, Dr. Matruka was operating on your husband, I was standing right beside him speaking in the Holy Ghost. Come on. And he pointed to his brain. What do you mean, Brother Brock? I mean simply this. God gave me a number one hospital. God gave me a number one doctor. And God gave me an angel to stand by that doctor's side, hallelujah, and pray. Hallelujah, and pray in the Holy Ghost. Why? Because I'm not talking about a Johnny come lately or a once in a while, but I'm talking to God that's in the now. Come on, amen. That's here right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God delivered me. 3 months I went through all that situation, but I'm fine today. How do you know? Well, let me tell you the rest of the story. We had to go to the doctor's office, to the hospital, for them to recheck my bypasses 8-9 years later. And I went to St. Joseph Hospital. My wife went. My son Tony went with me. And they took me in that room again with that slab, and they sent ink up into my heart to check my bypasses, because they say that bypasses can fail after 10 years. Sometimes they even have to put a stent in them to keep them going. And so they ran the dye through my heart. 6 o'clock in the morning, my wife is 5'3". So this 6'4" African-American doctor, who's excellent, came out of the room, looked at my wife and said, "Who in the world operated on your husband?" Like to scare her to death. Of course, I dressed up, "Who in the world?" He didn't necessarily say it that way, understand? But he wanted to know who operated on me. And my wife said, "Dr. Matruka." He said, "Well, there's one true reality. Your husband," now listen to this, "your husband didn't even scar." Honey, when you cut your skin, you scar. When they put bypasses into your heart, you scar. What are you trying to say? God gave me a brand new heart. That's what God can do for you. No matter what you're going through, God can work a miracle in your life. That's what he did for me. I didn't even scar. There is no scar in my heart. Somebody said, "Do you have a particular diet?" Oh, sure I do. I eat ribs as fast as I can eat them today. I don't worry about it. God's got my heart. God's got your healing. Are you ready for your healing? If you're ready, lift your hands and praise him. If you're ready, lift your hands and praise him. God is here.